everything. Thank you. First of all, I'm very happy that there's two different guys who take Thanksgiving very seriously. Two different guys have gotten dressed up for the occasion. Apparently, in the BB household, they take Thanksgiving extremely seriously. Okay? Here he is in his suit. Okay, and in the Kasdan household, they apparently mix up St. Patrick's Day and Thanksgiving. Okay, but it's nice to hear that families take Thanksgiving seriously. It's a great thing. Okay. All right, here we go. So we already discussed a very interesting topic here. It's clearly, you know, we have a tradition that very much prizes learning. Definitely a big salient part of Jewish peoplehood and Jewish tradition. The significance of Talmud Torah. Many people point out that, you know, certain religions, you might say that it's a priestly class that is learned, that has access to the text. And here we are in Judaism saying everybody should have access to the text, right? We didn't need, you know, Luther's Protestant Reformation for that. Okay, but so let's figure out what exactly we demanded. What is this mitzvah of daily study? Okay, so let's start with a Mishnah that we say pretty frequently in our liturgy. So we go to a Mishnah in Peah, very famous Mishnah. Elu dvarim she'en lem shiur. These are things that there's no fixed amount for. What there's no fixed amount for? Peah. Okay, which mitzvah is that? Okay, leaving a corner of your field for the poor. Bikurim, bringing the first fruit. Re'ayon, that's always the hard one. Okay, that's the mitzvah that when you come to the Beit HaMikdash, don't come empty-handed. Lo tiru panai re'kam. So re'ayon is like to be seen. So apparently what gift you bring could be any shiur. V'gmil chasadim, compassion. V'talmud Torah. Wait, so we already have an interesting Mishnah. Talmud Torah is in this short list of commandments, of obligations, that seems to be without bounds. It does not have a shiur. But now let's analyze a bit further. What does it mean, something that doesn't have a shiur? So it can mean multiple things. Let us go to the Tiferet Yisrael, my favorite period of the Mishnah, Rav Yisrael Lifshitz from Germany. Let's see what he says. What does it mean there's no shiur for Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah ein shiur lamata. What's his first approach? Yeah, very good, Alex. Okay, Alex O'Kasdan. Okay, maybe one possibility is there's no minimum, right? Any amount suffices. I can learn anything. Right, there it is. Right, the yotzei b'kriyat shema shachar v'arvit. V'hari gam b'lo zechad gam b'kriyat shema b'chol yom. Af shalom Torah. It's a really, that must be the easiest mitzvah ever. Why would be the easiest mitzvah ever, Talmud Torah? I'm yotzei by saying shema twice a day. And what's the second point? Gam b'lo zechayav. What's he saying? And it's two paragraphs that I'm going to say anyway. Very good, Moses. Why am I saying them anyway? Not qua Talmud Torah. I'm going to say them qua Kriyat Shema. So this is the easiest thing ever. I'm saying the two paragraphs anyway. And I'm Yotzei, Shema, and Talmud Torah. So that is no minimum. Okay, but then Rav Lifshitz continues. Now things get very interesting, guys. V'gam l'mala ein shiur. What else does he claim? There's also no maximum. Now that's a separate point. One can easily envision a mitzvah that says there's no minimum, but there is a maximum. I'll give you a great example. Let us say there's a mitzvah of tzedakah. Without getting to the question whether there's a minimum or not. But maybe there's a maximum. What if someone comes and says, I'd like to give all my money, all my possessions away to tzedakah? So would halacha encourage that or discourage that? So actually halacha would discourage it. Right? No, you need to support your family also. So there could be two separate questions. Is there a minimum obligation? And is there a maximum at which point you say, it's not good anymore to do more? It sounds like has Rav Lifshitz take the Talmud Torah ein shiur? That they're both true, right? No minimum and, that's a pretty remarkable thing. Right? If we try to figure out our tradition, how much does it value Talmud Torah in your daily schedule, we now have this funny position. What's the funny position? Any amount suffices, but any amount you add is also good. Okay? So we'll try to work this out. Ben. Okay, great. You could say that, but it does. He seems to argue that there's no minimum, right? Any paragraph will work. You said a paragraph of Shema, you've done your Talmud Torah obligation. Yeah, as. Very good.
There's no shear and your potter, then.
Okay, so the truth, Ezra Manis made a good point. I actually was going to gloss it over. It's good that you guys don't let me get away with things. That's great. Okay, what he says at the end is not obviously correct, actually. Okay, it needs a lot of work. Because what does the last line that Ezra Manis is quoting say? It sounds like he thinks there is a rule called Osek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Sounds like he thinks we apply that fully to Talmud Torah. What would that mean? As long as I'm studying Torah all day, I have a blanket exemption on the rest of the halachic system. The reason why it's tricky, guys, is maybe we'll do it shirkly another time. It's not obvious that's true at all. Like, let's say it's Sukkot time, right? And now I'm supposed to go take a lulav. Right, can I say, but in the middle of a really good ritva, I don't have to take a luav? We would normally assume, no, what you're supposed to do, stop learning and do the mitzvah. Or let's say there's a chesed opportunity that no one could do besides you. Some old lady needs help, and you're the only person who could help her. We would also say, no, and that's now you stop learning and do the chesed. So it's true, Ezra, his last line does seem to overstate the case. You're pointing a good question, but that's a topic for a different shirkoli. Yeah, Zach. Yes.
Okay.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so Zach's time, what if I want to say half of Shema?
Yeah.
I think we mean Shema suffices because any passage of Torah would suffice. Okay, you with me? Okay, anyone else had a question? Jordan? Oh my God, the two staffers are going to ask the same question. Okay, wow, the power of genetic, amazing. Okay. All right, you guys okay? Everyone got that? Okay, so now let's explore this a little more. Like, what exactly is the mitzvah of learning, and how does it deal with rival things that are clamoring for your time and attention? Okay, so let's go to two famous Gemara, guys. If nothing else today, you'll become more knowledgeable Jew. These are two Gemara that knowledgeable Jew needs to know. Gemara in Bracho and the Gemara in Menachov. Let's look at Gemara in Bracho. Tana Rabbanan, Vasata Diganecha. What does it say in Shema? It envisions Jewish people. What do they do? You gather your grain. So apparently the norm is you go to work, right? You farm and you plant and you gather the grain. Ma Talmud Lomer, why does it tell me this? Wait, because there's another verse. The verse in Sefer Yeshua. Lefi Shenemar Lo Yamosh Sefer Torah Zeh Mipicha. What does it sound like in Yeshua? First parable of Yeshua. The Torah does not depart from your mouth. What does it sound like? All one does in one's existence is study Torah. Yachol Dvarim Kichtavan. I might think the words are as they're written. Meaning, take Yeshua literally, and that would mean you can't ever do anything else. Talmud Lomer Vasab Diganecha. So Shema is crucial. What is the Shema paradigm? You go to the field also. Here you go. Those are what it's. Here we go. Right, justification for modern orthodoxy. You go to work. Right, here it is. Right, Haneg ben Minog Derech Eretz. Some of you are confused, guys. Did you realize that the same phrase can mean different things in different contexts? Many of you thought that Derech Eretz means being a nice person, right? Because you might have heard a teacher say at one point, let's behave with Derech Eretz. What does it mean in this context, though? Yeah, Derech Eretz here is work. Like the way of the world. What's the way of the world? People go to work. They go to their law job, their plumbing job, their medical job. Okay, great. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Now let's. I know, like, when I learn, guys, I often pay attention to the position and not so much the name. I often get caught in that. I'll know there's a machlok, I don't know who says what. Every once in a while, the name is crucial. In this sugya, the names are crucial. What is Rabbi Shmuel's position in Brachot? What's Rabbi Shmuel's position? Go to work. Right, Torah does not assume people are going to learn Torah all day. People have to support their family. You're going to go to work. That's the Rabbi Shmuel's position. Great. Rabbi Shumbe Chai Omer, wait. Shumbe says to his colleague, F Sharadam, is it possible this is going to be your schedule? Chorish Bishat Charisha. You're plowing at plowing time. Zareya b'shatzareya, you're planting. Kotzer b'shat k'sira, you're harvesting. Dash b'shat isha, you're threshing. Zoreh b'shat zriya haruach, and you're winnowing. Torah matela. Very interesting. So Rabbi Shmuel Chai gets up and says, what do I envision happening if we follow the Rabbi Shmuel position? You're never going to learn. There's always going to be some activity, some endeavor in the field. So what's going to be with Torah? No, it can't be. So what does Rashbi say? El b'zman she Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom, if we follow God's will, Milachta nasait al yedei acherim. What's milachta nasait al yedei acherim? Your work will be done. So Rashbi sees that as very idealistic portrait of the world. How does it work? If I just am idealistic and committed and serious, I shouldn't say just, that's not so easy. If I do everything right, this ideal plan, what happens? I stay in the Beit Midrash. God arranges it that somebody else will work for me. Okay? So we seem to have a pretty important machloket here. Arguably, again, very relevant to contemporary debates. Rabbi Shmuel envisioning the ideal as you go to work, asakta tiganecha derech eretz, and you have a Mishum b'chayiv, as you know, there's some ideal plane which you strive for where you just learn all day. Yeah, John.
When he says that your work will be done by other people, does that mean that if you're learning that someone else will take care of your shares? What happens if everybody takes their shares and everybody learns all day?
It's an interesting question. Okay, so who are these other people? Let's read the pasuk. Okay, that's a very good question, John. Shenemar, v'amdu zarim u'utzonchem. Who are zarim? What does it mean literally? Strangers.
Uri balsam, atarim tsa.
Mazem muzar, favorite. Good. Okay, so that's very good. Uri, you really come along there. Excellent. Top mode. Okay, it's true. At some point, it's like it's going to cease to be funny. It's just going to speak Hebrew fluently. Okay. Okay, Uri, I have a good deal for you. When you become totally fluent, I'm going to stop making comments about it during Shirkoli. Okay, so you have a goal to strive for. Yeah, okay. Okay. Wait, ma'achal tab, okay.
A bagel.
Okay. All right. So, what does it sound like in the pasuk, right? Vamdu zarim vizru tzonachem. What's going to happen? Strangers will stand up and they will shepherd your... So I agree with Moses Bibi. If you use the word czar in that context, like, maybe it's not 100% proof, actually. I think it's probably talking about a non-Jewish society, it sounds like, right? Because So again, I admit, it's hard. I don't think the world this way. I'm not a Rosh Hashanah guy. But it sounds like according to Rosh Hashanah, if we just all be idealistically committed, God would arrange it so that we'd have sustenance. Okay? That's what it sounds like. Right? It's not, but I initially thought the word czar was a proof, and I think czar is not a good proof. I think in that context, in that point, we should just look it up so you guys did not do my homework. Can anyone tell me why it's not a good proof? I was thinking first the word czar by definition would be a non-Jew. Who can tell me why that's not true? Because there's a pasuk in the Torah about eating truma. What does it say? A czar should not eat truma. What does it mean in that context? A non-Kohen. Meaning, who's a stranger is very contextual. The way to figure who's a stranger is, well, who's supposed to be in the group, and then everybody who's not in the group is by definition... a czar. So czar per se could mean different things. I think in that context, it sounds like it's non-Jewish society. Yeah. Was Rosh Hashanah Chai Kohen? Not that I know of. It's okay. We're good? Okay, great. Now, before we move on, guys, does this connect? I'm going to plant a seed for later in life. Okay, later in this year. Can anyone think? That wasn't a pun. I just happened to say that. Okay, now, can anyone tell me another Rosh Hashanah Chai story that might fit in with this being his ideology? Okay, he seems pretty strict in his ideology. What's his ideology? An ideal plane? We study Torah all day. Jared Feingold. Excellent. What happens with Shmuel Chai in the cave? He and his son are hiding from the Romans. You want to say that, Jacob? What happens when they come out of the cave? Let Simon do it. Simon's going to be the most enthusiastic. Go ahead, Simon.
Is there a plant, like a tree with food?
Okay, but that's while he's in the cave. Oh, but that's that works the weather. Exactly. That was great. I mean, as he's provided for in the cave, miraculously. And what happens when he comes out of the cave? Jared? Okay, that's not an exact quote of the Gemara, but okay. Okay. So everywhere they see people working, and it says everywhere they look is burnt up. So Jared Feingold's absolutely right. Maybe this is a consistent ideology. What's the Mishnah Baruch ideology? Jews should not be out there plowing, planting. They should be learning all day. So notice that Gemara might be helpful for connecting Mishnah Baruch. Yes, Jacob. Wait, you're on the right track. Did you get to all the sources? Okay. Hold on to that thought. It's very good what you just said. I'm going to come back to it in 20 minutes. John, you want to say that also?
I was going to say that. So if he's saying that czar, they're using czar in the non-Jewish, if you're going to say that, you say that it could be in a non-Jewish society, what happens if, like, a 100% Jewish society?
Look, you're right. It doesn't sound very practical. But again, if one has a stronger conception of how divine providence works, then you worry less about practicality. I agree. I don't tend to think of the world that way. Okay, great. Okay, let's see if Gemara has any resolution here. So let's skip down a little bit to Amar Abaye. You guys see that two lines before it ends? Okay, very interesting conclusion here. Amar Abaye, Harbe Asuk Rabbi Yishmael. Many Jews adopted the Rabbi Yishmael position. They went to work. They went to agriculture school. The Alta Biyadan. What does Alta Biyadan mean? And it? It worked. I mean, literally, it came up in their hands. They were successful. It was a good model for life. So what does it sound like Abaye thinks? We look around, the Rabbi Shmuel position seems to have worked out more successfully than the Shmuel Baruch Hai position. So that would seem to be an argument in favor of Rabbi Shmuel. Not only that, Amlu Rav L'Rabban, and this is also interesting. What does Rabbi say to the rabbis? Rabbi has a yeshiva. I plead of you guys. Now again, I don't know anything about agriculture, but apparently Nisan and Tishrei are crucial months for the farmer's work. So what does he tell his students? Those months, lo tidchazu kamai. Tidchazu like the word chazon. I don't want you to be seen in front of me. Don't show up in my shir. If I'm giving shir in the middle of Nisan and Uriah, I'll be upset. So apparently why is Rabbi going to be upset? Because he wants these guys to be farming. Right? That's the time to do your work. Go out, go out. If you're a good farmer, you shouldn't be here. That's your busiest months. And then what will happen? You won't be busy with mizonaichu, with mazon, with sustenance all year. So he's telling them, I have a good plan. There's certain months where you really have to be a good farmer. Go work. Don't show up in yeshiva. I'll kick you out if you come that day. And then the other times you'll be able to learn. Now, what does it sound like? One more thing, guys. What does it sound like? Who's being supported according to Rabbah? Okay, so we all agree? So here, it sounds like, 1 second, I'll take it in 1 second. It sounds like the weight of the Gemara is on the Rabbi Shmuel team. Right, we have Rabbi Shmuel Chai. I would say there are two lines, right, that seem to support Rabbi Shmuel. What are the two lines that seem to support Rabbi Shmuel? Abaye saying what practically worked, and then Rabbi telling his students, I don't want you around during the key months. One more thing, guys. I'll take all the comments in 1 second. Okay, now we get to a very interesting fellow. Okay, Merome Sadeh. Okay, guys, we've talked about, in Chumash, we talked about the Netziv, Rabbi Natali Tzvi Huda Berlin. Who remembers where he was Rosh Hashiva?
Volozhin.
Very good. He's Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin. He wrote, and if you guys go to this cemetery in Warsaw, it's an amazing place. He's buried right next to Chaim Soloveitchik there. Okay, so the Netziv wrote a lot of great Svarim. He wrote Svarim on almost everything. So he has a parish on Chumash called the Hamek Davar. He has a parish on Shas called Merome Sadeh. Okay, now this is a really difficult question. Only the Tanakh people could possibly get this, right? So this is only for Justin Feldman and Oren and Petol Chadak. You're the only three hopes we have. Okay, guys? Okay. Why would someone in Naftali... Why would someone Naftali... Oh, sorry, Yoni Schwartzman, I'm sorry. Okay? Sorry, Yoni. Okay, why would someone Naftali call his safe from Merome Sadeh? This is a hard one, guys. Because you have to know Nach, not just Chumash. Oren. Okay, wow, that's just frightening. Did you memorize Shira Dvara?
No.
Okay, correct. Okay, after... Wait, now I'm curious. Now you got the right answer. What was your second guess?
My second guess was going to be the bracha
on
the
Jalapokit,
the
public,
but then you said no.
Ah, no, that's wrong. Oh, you know what you're talking about. Okay, so that was very impressive. Okay, so after Dvora's military victory, right, there's a song, right, there aren't so many songs of that, called Shira Dvara, and there's a pasuk, Naftali Imrome Sadeh. So that pasuk associates Merome Sadeh with Naphtali. That's why it's the parish called Merome Sadeh. Very good, Art. Very good. Okay, so what's the source for? Mivur de pasuk Rabbi Shmuel. There it is. You guys want to know who wins here? According to Netziv? Rabbi Shmuel. So read the end of the Gemara. The end of the Gemara is clearly siding with Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, now comments. Zach Katz.
So back to the other point you're making. This is a question in the name of the Oppenheimer
Rube. Okay. Oh, sorry. So what does he say?
If that
that is such a good question. Or in every parish in the book, asked your question. I would have put it on the sheet, just then, you know, I try to stay to two sides to save paper for Am Yisrael, or for the world. So that's why I didn't put it on. But ever catch what he just said? Oren has a great question. Okay, has Rashbi in the Gemara deal with Vasapta de Ganecha? What does he claim? Vasapta de Ganecha is reflecting a situation where... Well, what do you say? If we do Ritzon or Shalmakom, then we won't have to work. So what's Vasav the Gnecha reflecting? A situation where we're not doing Ritzon or Shalmakom. But wait, think about the context we say it in. Vasav the Gnecha is in the first half of Vayim Shema. What's Vayim Shema broken between? Part one, when we follow God's will. Part two, when we don't. And Vasav the Gnecha is firmly in the first part. So it's an extremely difficult reading to tell me that the Asaf the Nechas, when you're not doing Ritzono, Shomakom. Oren, that is such a good question. Look it up. Tosvos, Tosarash, everybody asked that question. Yeah, Joey. Why? You mean Rava? Okay, but I still think Rava is supporting Rabbi Shmuel, because what seems to be the real Rashi Rabbi Yochai position? You don't have to work at all, right? Rashbi seems to think you'll learn and somehow food will show up.
It seems like you said you should focus more on learning.
Look, you could debate what the breakdown will be, but I think the simplest reading of a Shema Yochai at this point would be you never have to go out to the field. Okay, so the Netziv is taking it that way, and therefore Rav is actually siding with Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, any other questions? Yeah, Jordan. Supports. Yeah. Okay. Correct. Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel isn't necessarily saying that I think working is an ideal. I wish people just work all day and never learn. He might also think working is for the purpose of learning. But once he's telling you go out to work, you're already in the Rabbi Shmuel camp. You're no longer in the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai camp. Okay? All right, we're good? Okay, guys. Now let's go to Gemara Menachot. And now things are about to get extremely intriguing. This is going to be both a dramatic reversal and a very interesting educational debate here, a pedagogic debate. Let's go to Menachot. Let me just give you a little bit of background. Okay? The Beit HaMikdash, let's talk about a little general Jewish knowledge for a second, guys. It's about the Kelim of the Mikdash. Okay, there's the Kodesh Kedashim and the Kodesh. Which is the one Kli in the Kodesh Kedashim? The Aron, very good. Okay, but there were three Kelim in the Kodesh. Which three Kelim were in the Kodesh? Yoni? See, Yoni Schwartz knows his Tanakh and his Jewish history. Right, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, and the Menorah. On the Shulchan was something called Lechem HaPanim. Okay, so this bread, some guy used to balak. Uri, Al-Tazova, Tonu. Okay? Okay, Tachzor Mochel, okay? Mashu Bishvili Gavgen. Okay? All right, here we go. So now, okay, what do we have? If he understood Hebrew better, I'd actually get food, but now I'm not going to get anything. Okay, so what do we have here? So it says the bread should be, what does the Torah say in the Torah? Lefanai Tamid. Tamid means always. Now let's think, how literal should we be about always? So there's another position I didn't quote here, which says there's a new Olympic sport called synchronized bread switching. How would you do it? Some Kohanim would remove the old bread. Simultaneous to that, a different group of Kohanim would add the new bread. And you'd literally create a situation of tummy. Okay, we're good? Okay, let's see if that's really what's demanded. So let's go to Menachot, source 5. Taner b'yosi omer, afilu silei k'teishera shachri. If I remove the old bread in the morning, v'sider et ha-chadashar, and I arrange the new bread in the evening, ein b'kach klum. Ein b'kach klum means it's not a problem. What's he getting at here? Okay, what's he getting at? It's okay, right? Apparently, tamid need not mean every second of existence, okay? Think about it. If I took the old bread in the morning for the new bread in the evening, there's many hours that there's no bread on the shulchan. Okay, let's keep going. Elamani mekayim lefanai tamid. So how do I fulfill the pasuk that says tamid, namely, there's always bread there. Good word coming up, guys. Good word to fire light. Shelo yalin shulchan below lechem. What's lo yalin? It shouldn't go overnight. Okay, what's the root there, guys? No, lina means lodgings, right? That's why, what's a hotel? A malone, a place where you lodge. Okay, very good. It's embraced it many times, right? When the Eved meets Rivka, right, what does she offer? There's not just food for you and your camel, but it's like makom lalun, right? A place to lodge. Okay. Very good. Okay, excellent. Okay, so now, what does it mean in Kodesh Rabbi Yossi? Okay, as long as you don't go overnight without bread, that's good enough to be tamid. Okay, next. Okay, Amrav Ami, Midvar Shal Yossi Nilmod, Afil Lo Shanadam El Perkech Hachakun Perkech Hachavit, Kiye Mitzvah Limash Hachavit Mipicha. So Rav Ami makes a big jump. Oh, if always could mean this, what does it mean in the Talmud Torah context? Where is the passage that basically says you're always learning? So what does he want to claim? He doesn't have the word tamid. What does always mean? Something every day. That also could fulfill always. That could fulfill lo yamosh sefer Torah zeh mipich. Okay, great. Next. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Shimon Yochai. Now again, let's pay attention to the names. Who's Rav Yochanan quoting? Rashbi. Afilo kardem makir tshmashach ravik kiyam lo yamosh. Amazing. What does Shimon Yochai just say? What's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah really demand? Kriyachma. Wait. What does Shimon Yochai say in Brachot? Learn all day and don't go to work. So how did a maximalist become a minimalist? In Brachot, Rashbi is the maximalist Talmud Torah. What does he say? You can't even go to work. In an ideal plane, you learn all day. Okay, all of a sudden, what is he saying in Menachot? It's not a very demanding mitzvah at all. Just say Shema twice a day and you fulfill everything. Agree? What happened? What happened to Shema Yochai? Okay, now I'm going to skip the pedagogic debate for 2 minutes. Skip down to the line that goes to Haaretz, Sha'al Ben Dama. Just to get the other part in. Shaul ben Dama ben Achoto Shaul Bishmal Rabbi Shmuel. So we've got Rabbi Shmuel's nephew. He's got a famous rabbi who's his uncle. He wants to ask him some questions. Uncle Rabbi Shmuel. Kagon ani shalamadati kar terkula. I'm a serious scholar. I finished Shas. Ma'u l'mod chachma yavanit. I want to move on to another body of knowledge. Can I go study Greek wisdom? Karolav amikrezes. Rabbi Shmuel told his nephew. Lo yamor sefer Torah mipicha v'gita b'yomer v'layla. Study Torah day and night. Say ubdo. Go check. Sha'ash ain't a lomina yom v'lomina laila v'limu b'chach mayavanit. You want to study Greek wisdom? What's the good time to do so? Namely, you can't because Because you have to be learning Torah all day. Wait, what just happened to Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel and Brachot was the minimalist. He said, stop learning and go work. All of a sudden, what does Rabbi Shmuel say in Menachot? You have to learn all day. So it's fascinating. How did everybody switch positions? Right? In Brachot, Rabbi Shmuel says, learn all day and don't go to work. That's the ideal. And Rabbi Shmuel says, what are you talking about? You have to go to work. All of a sudden, in Menachot, Rabbi Shmuel says, you can't study Chachma Yevanit because you got to learn all day. And Rabbi Shmuel takes this incredibly minimalist position. Just say Shema twice a day, and you're good to go. So you got a double contradiction. It doesn't get better than that. Yeah, Simon. Okay, hold up and hold that till the end, okay? Yeah, Joey. Okay, so the guys want to claim there actually is a period of time that is neither Yom Belaila, and therefore you can become an expert on Aristotle and Plato in those 13 minutes. Okay, yeah. Jordan. Yeah. Okay, sorry. It was not conscious. It was not a conscious plan. Yeah, please. What's your first name again?
Ellie.
So
it doesn't sound like they're arguing on whether you should or shouldn't, but they're saying the ideal situation would be either to work and learn,
okay,
or to just learn throughout the entire day.
Okay, so you want to suggest that maybe the way to resolve the contradiction is there's this ideal, and then there's this other minimum way to fulfill it without the ideal, reality. Okay, excellent. We'll come back to your point, Ellie. Okay, we're good? Okay, great. So let us go to, but let's put aside, we've got a double contradiction lurking. Okay, I have to announce one thing. Is Jacob Katz still sick, by the way? Okay, because he's going to be threatened. Okay, because Kobe Gadol, by the way, is also a smiler guy. I've only picked up on it this week. So he's now in the top five smilers of the yeshiva. Okay? I didn't realize until now, but he's in there. He's up there. Up there, we know, with the two Jacobs and Alex Mofson. Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, so let's leave aside the double debate. Leave aside the double debate and go with, I think, a really amazing educational debate, guys. Look at this, guys. Let's go back to the lines I skipped. What did Rav Shimon Chai just say? How much is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Just Shema. V'davar zeh asur la'omu b'fnei am ha'aretz. Well, what a line. What's the claim? But don't let it out. Don't let out the truth. Right? Oh my God, it was censorship. Right? Don't let out the truth. What's the obvious reason? Why not? We'd like people to be learned. We'd like to be educated. If we tell people the mitzvah Talmud Torah could be fulfilled by just reciting Shema, we'll have a community of ignoramuses. So it's amazing things. Don't let this out, even though it's the truth. The truth is you're Yotzei with Shema, but don't tell anybody. Okay, so that's an easy position to understand. Don't tell the Amorites. But look at the next one. I love this. Rav Amar, mitzvah l'omer from the Amorites. What does Rav say? No, actually, publicize it. Let everyone know you're Yotzei if you just say Shema. But now things get really interesting in terms of educational psychology. Okay, wait. What would be the major advantage of publicizing it? Okay, I'm going to make a suggestion. The other position is obvious, right? Don't publicize it because everyone's just meeting around us. No one's going to learn. So why would I want to get this out there? That really you're Yotzei by just saying Shema? Yeah, are you? Excellent. So look at the Sfat Emet, source 7. Sfat Emet is the Ger Rebbe. His name is Yehuda Leib Alter from Ger. He wrote a very nice Pirush in Shas. So he says something very similar. Rav Amar Mitzvah Mufnei Amaretz, Nira Pirush, Kedei Shil Yoch Shav Amaretz, he shouldn't think, Kim the Yom V'lal Yiv Shil, but I can't learn day and night, Yitzyayish L'gamre Min HaTorah, there it is. It's like a classic educational debate. What's Yitzyayish? He will? He'll give up, he'll despair. Right, let's say you're an educator or a parent. You always have the following dilemma. Do I push for more? Or do I make people realize, no, it's an attainable goal, right? So it sounds like that's the educational debate. One says, don't say Shema works because no one will learn. The Sfarim says, no, but you have to tell people that Talmud Torah is a doable endeavor. So if we get it out, if we tell people they have to learn all day, what's the reaction? Despair. So don't tell people that. Tell people, you know what, you can be Yotzei Shema, they won't despair. Okay, so that would be a reasonable educational debate. Like, should we push for more? Or encourage people, even if they can do a little bit. So that's the Sfat Emet. Right? Maybe it's a mitzvah because we're trying to encourage and not trying to generate despair. Okay, we're good? And with another approach why you might want to tell an Amar this? Beyond not generating despair. And that's the most obvious one. Okay, so let's look at Rashi. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Lewis?
Sure, this is really a logical argument. But the first approach not to tell them seems a little bit self-contradictory because the point is to popularize Talmud Torah and you're doing that.
Okay. Oh, that's very clever.
From the rest of the people.
Okay. Okay, that's clever. That's clever. I'll get back to yours in a second. Yeah, Joey. Well, it's a little bit similar to Spider-Man, right? Just he's focused on the negative, you're focused on the positive. Right? But you're right, though. Okay, go to Rashi, guys. Rashi is Tupi Hoshim. I'm really a big fan of the second one. Okay, we're skipping the first Rashi. We're going to the second Rashi, Mitzvah Lomro, source 6. Disaber mishim kriyat shema notal schar gadol kazeh. If just saying Shema gives you great schar, ki oz tatzliach et rechecha, that's the continuation of the pasuk in Yoshua. In my ose kol yom, kol shcheitz schar gadol. What are the Amrits going to say? Well, we know that Talmud is a very weighty mitzvah in Judaism, and I can fulfill it by just saying Shema. So if I can do something great by just saying Shema, all the more so I'll get schar if I learn more. Okay, so maybe it's a little like Joey, the encouraging shot. Let's go to the third shot. This, to me, is the deepest shot. Lashon Acher, Savri Hanach Rabbanan, these rabbis think, Dematzi Patri Nafshayu B'Kriyat Shema. What could I do? I could Patri Nafshayu. I could make myself, we could make ourselves exempt by just saying Shema. Nevertheless, the Yatve Kulayama Vagarse. What's Yatve? Remember Shin Tafrul? So Shins in Hebrew become Tufs in Aramaic, so they sit all day and learn Shema Miyaskodesh. This, I think, guys, is psychologically very sharp. Okay, let us say you have a Shana Bet guy that you're looking at, and you see that he learns till 10 o'clock. So he's a great guy, but then see a different guy who learns till 10:30, right? What do you derive from that? Learning must be an enjoyable endeavor. It's something worthy of being excited about. Like, when do you pick up an excitement if someone does beyond the norm? Right, again, if you see, like, you know, a kid in the basketball team shooting foul shots after practice, right, say, oh, there's some value to this beyond, like, these strict hours, right? That conveys enthusiasm much more than someone who just keeps to the regular hours, right? I like the shot very much. According to Rashi, what are we doing when we convey this? We'll tell people, really, you'll say, Shema. What is the Amart's going to notice? Wait, look at these people learning much more than Shema. What must that mean? There's something exciting here. There's something, an endeavor you might want to be involved in, even beyond. So that I like very much, right there. Somehow, one of the ways of conveying the value of something is that someone does it beyond the strict norm, right? That's when someone's excited about something. Okay, so now we have three good perushim here. Okay, I'm going to suggest the fourth, which is similar to Lewis. Okay, again, why shouldn't you tell an arts? It's pretty much one shot. Don't tell an arts because he'll stop learning. Why should you tell him? Okay, Svadimet, he shouldn't despair. Rashi, he'll say, if a little bit gets char, certainly more. Rashi number two, he'll see that people care enough to learn beyond the requirements. I'm going to say a fourth shot. Maybe you should tell them just because it's the truth. It's what Lewis just said. Like, maybe we don't believe in hiding information, right? If it's true that Talmud Torah is Shema in the morning and evening, all right? Beyond what impact that has, maybe you just have to tell people the reality. Yeah, yeah, care. Okay, it's okay. Okay, that's fine. That's fine, yeah, care. That's fine. No, you could definitely quibble the fourth shot. It's not an accident that I didn't quote a source that said it because I didn't find anybody who said it. Okay? We're good? Okay, so let's leave aside the pedigree. Yeah, Zach.
I feel like a modern-day answer for telling them could be, like, for all the secular religions, like, more secular people who, like, think that Judaism's all about, like, doing everything. So you could be like, listen, just do this, and
okay,
it'll get them going.
So correct. Look, it's not so different than the Spider-Man at the end of the day, right? You're just putting it in a modern context. So you want people to despair. You want them to feel like it's doable. Okay, we're good? Okay, now let's go back to the double debate now, the double contradiction. Okay, again, we've got a Rabbi Shmuel contradiction, and we've got a Rishim Bechai contradiction. Okay, so let's start with Rabbi Shmuel first, because he's a little bit easier. We're going to jump around a little bit, guys. By the way, the Birkei Yosef is written by the Chida. That was Rabbi Chaim, what's the Yud for again? There's a lot of names. David Azulai, but I can't remember what the Yud is for. Okay, the Chida is a well-known Sephardi Achron. Okay, okay, I have two sweaty Achronim today. Okay, who's the BB? That's why you're wearing a suit. Okay. Okay, so let's we have here in the Birkei Yosef. Okay, what do we think, guys? Let's do the two contradictions separately. What was the Rabbi Shmuel contradiction? What does he say in Brachot? Stop learning and go to work. What does he say in Menachot? You can't study Chachma Yavanit after all. You need to learn. Okay, if you wanted to answer that, what might be the simplest way to resolve that contradiction? Yeah, Samson. Okay, but leave aside Rava for a second. Rava might confuse us here. Just let's look at the two Rabbi Shmuel statements. What does your saying, Brachot, go to work? What does your Shmuel saying, Menachot, don't study Chacham Yavanit, learn Torah? Yeah, Jacob Mitrani. Correct. What if someone says, well, I'll rephrase it. You can't, you don't have to learn all day, but it all depends on what is the worth of the other endeavor that you're involved in. Again, you guys know me, I do believe in secularism, but maybe Rabbi Yishmael did it. Rabbi Yishmael thought that farming to support your family is a worthy cause, but Greek wisdom is not a worthy cause. So then, in that sense, it would be easy to resolve the Rabbi Yishmael debate. So Rabbi Yishmael has a consistent position. Only interrupt Torah when it's really a necessity, when there's really a good need to do so. And then that's fine when there's a need to do so. Am I good at that so far? So that is, if you went through, I'm not good in science, you went through the whole Birkei Yosef, that was one of the answers. I just want to give you his other answer. It's very interesting. Look at the first part of the Birkei Yosef, first two lines. V'kash devishim devishim l'chai, devishim devishim l'chai, v'nichalei, devishim devadei sabar, de lo yomosh lav kipashtei. Lo yomosh is not literal. I mean, you don't actually have to learn all day. El lizruze leben achoto b'torah kamar. Okay, wild shot. What's lizruze? He's trying to get his nephew. Meaning, it was just when he said to his nephew, "Kilner chacham yavanit," that wasn't like a general halachic position. That was just what? A statement, a personal statement directed at the nephew. What if he thought his nephew wasn't such a serious guy? His nephew went to study chacham yavanit because there was a cute girl in the chacham yavanit class. Right? What if he thought that was what's going on? So therefore he said to his nephew, oh, you want to study Chacham Yavanit? No, you have to be living Torah. But it wasn't about a concrete obligation. Okay, I've got that so far? So we're going to put Rabbi Yishmael aside. I think Rabbi Yishmael is going to be even more interesting. What are the two answers to Rabbi Yishmael? Either he values Derech Eretz more than he values Chacham Yavanit, or he really thinks you could break for anything, but it was a specific message geared towards his nephew. Have a good so far? Okay, now let's put Rabbi Yishmael aside and go to Rashbi. What did Rashbi say in Brachot again? Don't go to work, but learn all day. What does Rashbi say in Menachot? Oh, actually, you fulfill it by just saying Shema. That's a little tougher. And I have a suggestion how to like extract Rashbi from this contradiction. I mean, we have what Ellie? Yeah. What Ellie said before, I have another possibility. Is there any other way to save Rashbi? Yeah, Yakir? Oh, you want to say that maybe there's an elite and, okay, interesting. Anyone else? That's not a bad idea. Okay, so let's take a look at, again, the Birkei Yosef. Let's go over to the second side of the page, guys. And we'll see, I think, three very interesting answers. Okay, look at the top line. Ach lefia girsa. Now, that's a keyword, guys. You see that word, you know everything. As soon as you see the word girsa, what do you know? There must be more than one version of the text. Now just think about it for a second, guys. Imagine the world before printing, and you want to have a copy of Shas. What do you have to do? Either memorize it or somebody's got to copy it by hand. It's not something, don't try this at home. Right, imagine trying to copy Shas by hand. So we had very, very serious scribes. They did a great job. But even for the most serious scribe ever, it's not crazy that if you have to copy Shas, a mistake might creep in. I see we have our Thanksgiving staff is getting ready. See, guys, the turkey is being warmed up as we speak. There they go. Okay. Joe Stanton, we're all counting on you. Joe Stanton's willing to do it even though he's English. What a guy. Okay. And Avery and Canadians. Right? And Jake's from Detroit. He's also willing to do it, even though the Lions lose on Thanksgiving every year. Okay. Amazing. Amazing dedication, guys. We got an Englishman, a Canadian, and a Detroit Lions fan preparing Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. So here we go. So, I didn't even plan that. I did not plan that. It just came to me right now that Jake got up. That was great. Okay. So, they did a great job, but every once in a while, a mistake creeps in. So, if you see the word girsa, what do you know? There's more than one version of the text. So, you're already looking for the shift. Let's see what shift we have here. Ach, lefia girsa, the mighty Rav Tikon, Rav Yochanan b'shem, Rabbi Shimon ben, Yehot Sadak. What just happened? Wait, what did it say in our text in the Vilna Shas? Rav Yochanan is quoting Shabbat Yochai. According to the Shach, who's Rav Yochanan quoting? Rav Shimon ben Yotzadak. Well, obviously, if that girsa is right, what happens to our contradiction? There's no contradiction. You know the contradiction is both Rav Shimon Yochai. So that would obviously be the simplest solution. Now, here, let's think about one thing for a second, guys. Let's think logically. If I want to solve a problem by saying it's a scribal error, when is that legitimate and when is not legitimate? So think about it. Let's say the word in the Gemara says, I know, saf sal, bench. And I say it's a mistake. It wasn't safsal, and the original was tapuach, apple. Okay, does that sound reasonable?
No.
There's no reason in the world to scratch right that puach if it, the word said, stop sell. Okay, what about this one? Is this a reasonable error or not at all?
Yes.
This is an incredibly reasonable error. But imagine you're copying all of Shas. At one point in your mind, instead of Rav Shimon ben Yehotzadok, you write Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that's reasonable. Even more so, what might have happened? Look what he says next line. V'lo nifleitei v'lo rechoka. This is not rechoka. It's not such a far-fetched idea. Dayakatub b'shas Rashbi. That's very clever. What does he want to claim? Guys, again, remember, before the printing press, right, you want to save space. I'll tell you a good story, guys. This is a good story. I was once giving this shiur when I quoted Minchat Chinuch. The Minchat Chinuch uses a ton of abbreviations. So someone in the shiur said, oh, they only did it to keep out the uninitiated. It's like the secret code of the rabbis, storing knowledge for themselves. That's why they use all this Rashi Tevot. So I said to the student, no, they use a lot of Rashi Tevot because they were saving money. Right? You're a poor Jew in Europe, you're writing on a piece of paper. Right? The more Rashi Tevot you use, the less paper you need. Right? So that's why these Rashi Tevot. This is totally reasonable. Maybe what did a scribe write at some point? Rabbi Yochanan is quoting? Reishin Be'yun. What did that scribe mean? Rishon Ben Yotzada. But the later scribe, 2 centuries later, translated it back into, it's good, very good svar, right? So that would solve the problem. Okay, so that's just, again, obviously you don't want to solve every single problem in life by saying it's a scribal error. But this one's a pretty reasonable one. Yeah.
The Menachot. It says that you have Rabbi Mishnah versus another rabbi. Mm-hmm. So would it be make sense that it's Rabbi Mishnah versus the same rabbi who we previously fought in the last tomorrow?
Okay, that's interesting. You have to check out, it's very clever what you just said, Max. You might want to check out, like, historically where they all fit in. But it's something even better, though, Max. Look at the end of the second line. V'kvar know that there's Shimei Yotzadak, Rabbe d'Rab Yochanan Habe. Again, I didn't know this, but what does he claim? Yeah, I assume he's right. We know that Shimei Yotzadak was Rav Yochanan's teacher. And again, what do we have here in Menachot? Rav Yochanan's quoting whoever this Tana is. So, Max, it sounds like there's a lot of weight behind the supposition that maybe the original was Rav Shimei Yotzadak. Yes, Simon. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Perhaps
Brachot is a sacred disciple. Ah, okay, so a little bit like Webner.
Oh, just,
wait, no, it's the opposite, right? You want to say that it's the elite versus the masters, right?
Me?
You, Simon, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're the elite are supposed to learn all day, right?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, that's an interesting answer. That's a little bit like...
Actually, no, the opposite, because you can't tell...
oh, that's very clever. You're saying, since if you say Asulam Ve'aretz, that's why we're actually telling, that's right, it's actually the opposite of Yakir.
Yeah.
Simon, put that in your parish, it's very clever what you just said.
Yeah.
Meaning, we want them to get educated, so we're telling them they have to learn all day.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, Jacob.
I also have a
common
solution.
Yeah?
Maybe our conception and his conception of Talmud Torah is different.
Okay.
For example, maybe our conception is like sitting with Baby Josh in the same
room. Okay, and what's his conception? It's great drasha, but does it sound that way in Brachot?
No.
What does he say? If a person is plowing and planting and winnowing, etc., how are they ever going to learn? Right? It doesn't sound like... Okay? Actually, Akil, let me sneak into more things, and then I'll take comments at the end. Okay, we've got 2 more answers, guys, then we'll close with... Then I'll take questions, then we'll close with one last idea. Okay, let us go a little bit further down the Brick Yosef. Okay, again, we're looking for answers for the Shem Berachai contradiction. Simplest answer, there's no contradiction because... One of them is not Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, now skip down to after the ellipsis, right? About 7 lines down, right after the dots. Udrashpia Dershinam Lokasha, Hagam the name of the Edi Vidi Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Let's say they're both Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Vero Echad Amran, Del Olam Savarashbi, Del Inyan Lo Yamush. If I'm trying to fill the mitzvah of Lo Yamush, Nafik, I am, what's Nafik? No, but the other meaning, I am Yotzei, Bekriyat Shema, Shach Ravit Kayim. How much is mitzvah Talmud Torah? Just a paragraph of Shema. But miu sabarashvi dimikoch mitzvah Talmud Torah. There's another mitzvah. Aryehu deravi akarkafta degavra. It's like a lion crouching on your head. Yom yom yabia v'lai lali chave. L'mod b'torah l'dat l'avot kol haTorah. Okay, I'm going to breeze through. See what we're getting to in 1 second. Kolal pratetiv gavish pratevich yachonit v'esh shmata garita hilta manita and manita amita mesarta everything. If you are plowing, get skipped to the second to last line. I know no one understands what it means yet. Second to last line. Matai yimale kreso mikadshei shamayim v'yilmod kala Torah. Does that understand what he's getting at here? What does he want? He wants people to become learned. Maybe there's two different mitzvot. One mitzvah is a person, a Jew, should connect to Torah every day. How do I fulfill that? It suffices to say Shema. But I'm going to give a terminology he doesn't use. What if I say there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah and there's a mitzvah of Yediyat HaTorah? Right? What's the mitzvah of Yediyat HaTorah? You will be a more profound religious person if you're knowledgeable. So maybe that's a separate obligation. But that second obligation is not formalized in terms of this amount a day. That's just a generic obligation. Become learned. I think it works very nicely. So according to this answer, what's he saying in Menachot? As far as the mitzvah of Higitabo, Yom HaVelayla, all I have to do is Shema twice a day. What's Brachot reflecting? A different obligation. The obligation to become a knowledgeable person. There he says, you know what? Don't work right now because you need to become a knowledgeable person. Now how would that play out concretely is a good question. But again, it solves the contradiction because it's two separate obligations that are being discussed. And I like it in terms of, again, obviously, guys, I am not a Rashbi fan in general. I would not say here that you guys should all stay in coal your lives and you should go get a job. But I think we could both feel both obligations. What would be the twin obligations? Number one, if you're a serious Jew, every day involves some kind of learning opportunity. But B, if you're a serious Jew, you want to become, in general, an knowledgeable person. You end up becoming knowledgeable about your tradition, right? So that would be, I think it's a good model. There's the daily Torah obligation manifest in Menachot, and there's this knowledgeable Jew obligation manifest in Brachot. Okay, we're good so far? Okay, that's the second answer. Third answer, then I'll take a question on the last point. Okay, there's another great Sephardi Sefer, guys, by Rav Chizkio Medini. He wrote a Sefer called Stei Chemed. Believe it or not, guys, he's a one-man encyclopedia. There's a Talmudic encyclopedia written by one person. He was the rabbi in Hebron. Did his name come up when you did the tour of Hebron? Of Chizkio Medini? Did they mention like famous rabbis who lived in Hebron?
Is he in the Ramadina show?
I don't know. But yeah, it doesn't sound like his name came up. Okay, but there's a Talmudic encyclopedia called the Stei Chemed, and I guess I should give public thank you. You know, the Himmelsteins, Rav Noam's parents at one point were like, you know, when you get older, you want to downsize, like you move from your house to your apartment. So they were giving away Sfarim, and now I'm the proud owner of a Stei Chemed thanks to the Himmelsteins. Okay, so let's look at this Stei Chemed's answer. And really, someone said before, who was it? Was it Jacob Matrani? Someone said it. Okay, let's go back. We said Rashbi's consistent. Where do we see Rashbi demanding that people learn all day? Not just in Brachot, but also in the cave story. But wait, we all know our Talmudic Agadah. What happens in the cave story? The Bakal says, wait, you want to destroy my world? Get back in the cave. What happens ultimately? What reconciles them to the world? And remember, they see a Jew running before Shabbos. Very good. Who said that? Okay, very good. That's Romanus. With two hottest branches. Remind me some of the time, guys. I have a great shot in that Gemara. It's not mine. I stole it from Jeff Rubenstein from Englewood. But you could read it in my book. Okay, so you see a Jew running with two hottest branches right before Shabbat. And they're reconciled to the world. But maybe what message did God give them? It is okay for Jews to plow the land. That's legitimate. Stop being so angry with the rest of the world. So look at this Stei Chemed, guys. Look at this answer. Source 9. Demasha Mirashbi Brachot Efshad Mchoish Tormatadvam Kipashtan Him Desover Diminadin Any Yosekhvat Piyashakravit Velo Kasha De Adye. Why is there no Kasha? Daha Mikame Batkol Daha Levatar Batkol. What's Mikame and Levatar? Isn't that clever? One's before the Batkol. Isn't that great? It's a great answer. Jacob Matrani says the Stei Chemed. No, Brachot was his position before he went in the cave. He said, Torah all day, that's all there is. No, but he learned his lesson from the story. So Menachot is his position post-cave. Then Rashbi comes along to Rabbi Shmuel's position that really it's legitimate to engage in other endeavors. So let's point to the last source, guys. It's one of what we've done so far. We've done a very nice job here. Okay, we have said that, first of all, we said, according to what seems to be the mainstream position, you could have a very minimalist reading. It's legitimate to go learn other things. Maybe it's even legitimate to say Shema twice a day. One person says, don't tell the Amarites. Don't tell them because they won't learn anything. They said, no, maybe you should tell them. Maybe you're encouraging this way. Or Rashi's second shot. Maybe they'll realize people really must like learning. They learn even when they don't have to. Okay, great. Then we had a double contradiction. How do we solve the Rabbi Shmuel contradiction? One possibility is he values Derech Eretz. He values plowing, planting. And he doesn't value Chacham Yevani. That's one possibility. Second possibility in the Birkei Yosef, he was really just trying to encourage his nephew. Great. What about the Rashbi contradiction? We now have three answers. Okay, answer one, simplest one. Yeah, it was never Rashbi, it was Rashi Meir Tzadok. Okay, obviously that solves no problem. Answer two, in the Bekei Yosef, no, there's one Gemara is addressing daily Talmud Torah. The other Gemara is addressing, my terminology, not his, Yediyah Torah. And I thought that was a nice model for all of us. Okay, we're all going to go to work and do things, but we should have two feelings. One, we should learn something every day, it could be like 5 minutes. And two, we should try to become knowledgeable Jews. Right, that's the second obligation lurking in the background. Okay, that is the bracha versus menachah. Okay, then we had the Stei Chemed, very clever answer. What's the Stei Chemed's answer? Rashbi himself underwent the transformation. That's what he learned from the Bat Kol story. Okay, I want to close with one source. Before I do the last source, maybe you have a comment or question on what we've done so far. Okay, we're good? Okay, last, yeah, yes. Okay. Okay, you're right, but I'm not going to discuss this in a second. Okay, last one today, guys. This is a good ending. Let's look at the Ars Simeach, source 11. Okay, we didn't get to all the sources, but we almost did. Okay, one more minute, guys. We're done. V'nimtza mitzvah talmud Torah shebevadai. Im yivakesh adam teri from azon. Let's see, you want to go to work. You want to support your family. Because that eino nechshav lemafriya mitzvah talmud Torah. What's to be mafriya something? You're not bothering. You're not distracting. Meaning it's legitimate. In Judaism, you can go to work. It's legitimate. But now, you go one step further. I think very nice points come up, guys. So, until now, what's been the one variable in not learning, or the major variable? Don't learn because you need to go to work, right? That's been the major variable. What if there are other variables? V'chein l'mashal adam chalush hamezek. What would that mean? What's chalush? What if you're weak? What about your physical health? Maybe that plays a role also. Maybe how much you have to learn every day depends on how healthy you are. V'chein kol achad l'fi achruch l'fi aglo v'chein l'fi tor nafsho shel adam. What does it depend on also? Who you are, what your personality is like, what your traits are. Ki eino dom b'chiv tam dra ish asher nafsho margeshet b'sichla hazach b'nikshet b'abtut avad l'tam b'torah l'ish asher kochot nafsho nirpim b'atzelim. I think it's a great piece. What does he say? I can envision two people in the yeshiva. One who's naturally drawn to Talmud Torah, right? They love intellectual analysis. They love the quest for meaning. And somebody else who's not as naturally drawn, says the Ars Simeach or Meir Simcha, that's also a legitimate factor, an X factor. So Ars Simeach says something very powerful. Maybe in our tradition, there are two kinds of obligations, guys. One obligation is clear cut, and that's the same for every Jew. What is Netilat Lulav? My Netilat Lulav is not different from Yoni's Netilat Lulav, it's not different from Gabe's Netilat Lulav. It's the same mitzvah. But maybe the other mitzvot that are by definition very personal. Right? So to me, this is very true here. Why is Talmud Torah perhaps set in a minimalist vein? It's a minimalist vein because how much should a person learn? There's no objective mathematical answer for every Jew. That depends on who you are. What's the nature of your job? What's the nature of your personality? What's the nature of your physical health? So how does all that... Someone could be frustrated by this because people want definitive answers. I would say don't be frustrated with this. Be proud of this. That the system makes sense. So how does the system deal with it? If Talmud Torah is such a variable, there are various X factors. So it gives you a minimum. Again, what's the minimum? Just learn something every day. And then filling in the blank, it leaves to you. But I know it's probably one of David's mantras, guys. Maybe one good note to close this year on. Okay, we shouldn't think of life as just fulfilling obligations and moving on. Right? Maybe Talmud Torah, in theory, we're yotzei b'sikshma every day. It's a wonderful thing. But we should also think about this yearning to become a learned person. And again, it's a very personal question. There's no definitive answer. How much you learn, only you could answer that question. All right, let's go to Mincha. Happy Thanksgiving.